I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. Is Democracy Now!
We stand ready to continue our work together to deliver on the one big beautiful bill, as President Trump named it himself.
Nobody on the Republican side pushing this bill wants to have an in-person town hall and look their constituents in the face and explain to them why they want to hand Elon Musk another $25 billion contract while jacking up your health insurance costs, not just by hundreds, but by thousands of dollars.
House Republicans passed Trump's sweeping budget legislation with massive tax breaks for the rich, while slashing spending for Medicaid, Medicare, food assistance, clean energy, and more. The bill includes the single biggest increase in funding for immigration enforcement in U.S. history. We'll speak with the nation's Chris Layman. His article, Trump and Johnson's Big Ugly Lie. Then detained Palestinian activist Mahmoud Khalil testifies at his asylum hearing. His deportation could result in assassination, kidnapping, torture. Hours before Thursday's hearing, Khalil was allowed to meet and hold his one-month-old son for the first time. We'll get an update from his lawyer, Ramzi Qasem.
Mahmoud has still found ways to speak out in support of Palestinian lives and dignity. And there are many people who have come out in his support, in support of the Palestinian people, showing that they are undeterred, that they're unbowed, and that they're unafraid.
And this Sunday marks 5 years since police murdered George Floyd. The video shocked the world and spurred a global movement for racial justice. As he lay dying, Floyd gasped for air repeatedly. "I can't breathe," he said.
We know that George Floyd was unjustly killed by Minneapolis police officers. The video has gone viral. People are outraged. This is yet another reminder that the Minneapolis Police Department has a culture of violence, specifically when it comes to their interactions with the African-American community.
This comes as Trump's Justice Department has just dismissed police reform and oversight agreements in Minneapolis and Louisville. We'll go to Minneapolis. And finally, historian Jean Theo Harris on her new book, King of the North, about Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's own experiences with police brutality and his organizing against it in Los Angeles, Chicago, and New York that has gone largely overlooked. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In northern Gaza, more than 50 Palestinians were killed or are presumed dead following an Israeli airstrike that leveled a four-story home in Jabalia. Civil defense workers described a horrific scene with rescue operations severely hampered due to a lack of heavy machinery. The attack came as Gaza officials said at least 29 children and seniors starved to death over the past 2 days amidst a worsening hunger crisis brought on by Israel's near-total blockade. On Thursday, there were chaotic scenes as crowds scrambled to receive the first freshly baked bread in weeks from a handful of bakeries in south and central Gaza. Israel's army said it granted access Thursday to 107 humanitarian aid trucks carrying limited supplies of food, medical equipment, and pharmaceuticals. Aid groups say at least 500 aid trucks are needed every day for 2 months to alleviate Gaza's hunger crisis. This is UN spokesperson Stefan Dujarric.
The shipment from yesterday is limited in quantity and nowhere near sufficient to meet the scale and scope of Gaza's 2.1 million.
Lebanese Prime Minister Nawaf Salam has condemned a series of Israeli attacks across southern Lebanon and the eastern Baqa Valley. Israel's military said a drone strike killed a Hezbollah operative late Thursday, part of what Lebanese officials described as Israel's heaviest attack since reaching a ceasefire agreement with Hezbollah in November, which Israel has repeatedly violated. In Jerusalem, a member of the Arab-Jewish Hadash Party was forcefully removed from the podium of Israel's Knesset Thursday as he condemned Israel's assault on Gaza. This is the lawmaker, Ayman Odeh.
After a year and a half of war in which you killed 19,000 children, 53,000 residents of Gaza, you destroyed all the universities and the hospitals, and for you there is no political win. You feel there is no political win. That's why you go crazy.
The Trump administration Thursday barred Harvard University from enrolling international students by revoking its student exchange and visitor program certification. The news sent shockwaves through Harvard and beyond, with legal experts warning the move is likely illegal. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem cited anti-Semitism for the move, an accusation the Trump administration's also wielded against other universities when withdrawing federal funds. Noem also accused Harvard of, quote, coordinating with the Chinese Communist Party, unquote. In April, Harvard refused to abide by Trump's list of demands related to DEI and free speech on campus. Harvard also challenged a Trump administration order to hand over the records of its current international students. Over a quarter of Harvard's student body is international. Unless courts block the Trump administration's order, current students would have to transfer out of Harvard or lose their visas. Mahmoud Khalil, the Columbia University graduate abducted by ICE, testified in court Thursday that he faces possible assassination, kidnapping, or torture if he were to be deported after being, quote, mislabeled a terrorist sympathizer by the U.S. government. Khalil has been locked up in an immigration prison in Jena, Louisiana, for over 2 months after he was taken from his New York home in March. Just hours before his testimony Thursday, Mahmoud Khalil was permitted to hold his one-month-old baby, Dean, for the first time since he was born. Hundreds of people rallied in Jena Thursday to demand justice for Khalil. Amy Greer, one of his lawyers, spoke to reporters after the court hearing.
As long as this genocide is unfolding and the ethnic cleansing happening in the West Bank continues to unfold to the silence of the Western part of the world, he will keep speaking. And this administration can keep throwing people away, keep trying to silence our communities, but we see what's happening. Mahmoud sees what's happening, and he is willing to exercise his voice and protect all of our rights.
We'll have more on this story later in the broadcast with another member of Mahmoud Khalil's legal team, Ramzi Qasem. Here in New York, alumni from Columbia and Barnard ripped up and burned their diplomas outside their alma mater Wednesday to protest the repression of free speech and persecution of pro-Palestinian student protesters on campus. This is Jeannie Dubnow, a Barnard graduate from the class of 1960.
My parents came here to escape the fascism in Nazi Germany.
My parents came here to escape the fascism in Nazi Germany.
And now I'm finding that we are facing fascism here.
And now I'm finding that we are facing fascism here in the United States.
And Columbia University is opening its arms to this fascist government.
In related news, students and staff at the University of Oregon have joined hunger strikers across the country demanding their school divest from Israel and protect free speech on campus. Hunger strikes are also ongoing at Yale, Stanford, and at California State University schools. Elsewhere in New York, a coalition of military veterans and other rights activists have begun a 40-day fast for Gaza. The hunger strikers are gathering at the U.S. mission to the U.N. for their action. They spoke in front of the U.N. Thursday as they launched their fast. This is 74-year-old Mike Ferner, former national director of Veterans for Peace.
Our demands are full humanitarian aid under the authority of the United Nations. No more weapons to Israel, to stop the genocide, stop the killing, and start treating this earth as though it were sacred.
The Senate has voted to block California's landmark law phasing out gasoline-powered cars by 2035 in a bid to combat air pollution and the climate crisis. The vote was 51-44, with Democratic Senator Alyssa Slotkin of Michigan joining Republicans who used a procedural maneuver to avoid the Senate's filibuster rules, a process Democrats described as a nuclear option. California Governor Gavin Newsom called it a, quote, unconstitutional attack on California, and said the state would sue in federal court to block the federal mandate. 11 other states were set to follow California's lead with similar phase-outs of fossil fuel vehicles, accounting for 40% of the U.S. auto market. In more climate news, a new study from University of Maryland researchers finds the world's forests were destroyed at the fastest rate ever recorded last year, with an area the size of Italy lost to fires as well as agriculture, logging, and mining. The Supreme Court has granted an emergency request by the Trump administration allowing the president to fire leaders of most independent government agencies. The Supreme Court's 6-3 ruling clears the way for Trump to terminate National Labor Relations Board member Gwen Wilcox, as well as Kathy Harris, a member of the Merit Systems Protection Board, which protects the rights of federal workers. The ruling includes a narrow carve-out protecting the independence of the Federal Reserve. Earlier this month, Trump rattled markets when he mocked Fed Chair Jerome Powell as a fool and a major loser, asserting that he had the power to terminate him. This comes after a split three-judge panel at the U.S. Court of Appeals for Washington, D.C., cleared the way for President Trump's executive order stripping federal workers of their collective bargaining rights. The Center for American Progress reports the order affects 4 out of 5 federal workers represented by unions at more than a dozen federal agencies, more than 1 million people. The Supreme Court's narrowly rejected Oklahoma's bid to use federal funds to pay for what would have been the first religious charter school. Justice Amy Coney Barrett recused herself from Thursday's ruling, leaving the court deadlocked in a 4-4 decision, leaving intact an Oklahoma Supreme Court ruling that the proposed Catholic charter school violated the constitutional separation of church and state. Protesters gathered outside President Trump's Virginia Golf Club Thursday evening as he hosted a private dinner for 220 top spenders on his Trump meme coin. Altogether, the dinner attendees spent close to $400 million combined to gain access to Trump, many of them foreign nationals. Among the attendees were Justin Sun, a Chinese-born crypto billionaire, and Korean crypto executive Sungrak Oh. Massachusetts Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren called the gathering an orgy of corruption. Oregon Democrat Jeff Merkley joined protesters outside Trump's golf club.
This is like the Mount Everest of corruption. Now, our founders were very worried about people buying influence with our corruption because they knew you can't have We the People government if it's government's being sold to others.
Federal prosecutors in Washington, D.C. have filed murder charges against the Chicago man accused of fatally shooting 2 Israeli embassy staff members outside the Capitol Jewish Museum Wednesday evening. Elias Rodriguez made an appearance in federal court Thursday afternoon. He may also face hate crime and terrorism charges and could face the death penalty if convicted. Russia and Ukraine exchanged heavy volleys of attack drones overnight, with Ukraine's Air Force saying it downed 112 of 128 incoming Russian drones, while officials in Moscow grounded planes at several major airports amidst attacks from Ukrainian UAVs. Elsewhere, Russian officials said a Ukrainian strike injured 12 people in Russia's Kursk region. This comes as Germany announced it has stationed a heavy combat unit of 4,800 soldiers in Lithuania, the first permanent deployment of German troops abroad since the Second World War. Chancellor Friedrich Merz said during a ceremony in Vilnius on Thursday the troops would help protect NATO's eastern flank.
We know that security doesn't begin at our borders. It begins where our allies and partners have to defend it. That's why Lithuania's security is also our security.
Lithuania is a former Soviet republic that borders Russia's Kaliningrad, as well as Russian ally Belarus. It joined NATO in 2004. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We begin today's show looking at Trump's sweeping budget bill that includes what's been described as the biggest Medicaid cuts in U.S. history. On early Thursday morning, House Republicans passed the bill giving massive tax breaks to the rich while slashing spending for Medicaid, Medicare, food assistance, and subsidies for clean energy. The measure just eked through with a 215 to 214 vote that came after an all-night session and days of negotiations. The legislation would trigger $625 billion in Medicaid cuts over the next 10 years, denying coverage to an estimated 7.6 million Americans, according to the Congressional Budget Office. Food assistance under the federal SNAP program would also see $300 billion in cuts while adding billions in funding for Trump's border enforcement and mass deportation agenda. House Speaker Mike Johnson praised the budget package, speaking after the vote.
We look forward to the Senate's timely consideration of this once-in-a-generation legislation. We stand ready to continue our work together to deliver on the one big, beautiful bill, as President Trump named it himself.
Ahead of the House vote, Democratic Congressmember Greg Kassar of Texas confronted Republicans on the House Budget Committee on rising health care premiums for their constituents while giving billionaires more tax breaks.
In this bill, they're going to jack up the premiums on health care for the people that rely on the marketplace for their health care. And so I will hand the mic over, yield my time to any of my Republican colleagues that want to address the amount of money that their tax-paying citizens are going to have to pay in increased premiums for their health care. And what bothers me the most is that we want to hide it. Nobody wants here to talk about the fact that they're jacking up insurance costs on their own constituents while giving a billionaire a tax break. Nobody on the Republican side pushing this bill wants to have an in-person town hall and look their constituents in the face and explain to them why they want to hand Elon Musk another $25 billion contract while jacking up your health insurance costs, not just by hundreds, but by thousands of dollars.
Again, they're the largest Medicaid cuts in U.S. history. The legislation would trigger $625 billion in Medicare cuts over the next 10 years. Some Senate Republicans have voiced some concerns over the measure and will now have to pass their own version of the budget. With all Democratic senators opposed to the package, Republicans could resort to using the reconciliation process to avoid a filibuster. For more, we go to Washington, D.C. We're joined by Chris Layman, D.C. Bureau Chief of The Nation. His latest piece is headlined Trump and Johnson's Big Ugly Lie. Chris Layman, welcome back to Democracy Now! Lay out what's in the legislation.
Thanks, Amy. Always a pleasure. I would say the legislation is basically a mugging conducted by the 1% against the rest of us. It represents the single largest upward redistribution of wealth effectuated by any piece of legislation in our history. The tax cuts work out to about $4 trillion, and the chief beneficiaries are at the upper end of the income spectrum. People earning $4 million or more, the 0.1%, will realize $389,000 gains in their after-tax income, whereas the lowest quintile of earners who make $17,000 or less will be on the hook for $1,000 and some change in their after-tax income. And that number will rise over the 10-year course of this package. And the GOP has dishonestly peddled it as a, necessary, the cuts in the legislation as necessary fiscal discipline. In point of fact, this package will increase the federal deficit by $3 trillion. And you saw instantly the bond markets swooned on the news that this legislation has passed. The futures markets today are sort of in free fall. So it is just an outlandish piece of legislation, based on basic economic principles, and it is a massive giveaway to the wealthy. You mentioned, you know, the historic cuts to Medicaid, to SNAP, to food assistance. There's also just, you know, crass and corrupt lobbying giveaways. There's a provision in it that prohibits all states from regulating artificial intelligence. It's a staggering work of theft from on high.
And explain the on high. Explain what the billionaires get in exchange for cutting Medicaid, triggering the Medicare cuts, cutting clean energy, cutting food assistance.
They get $2.5 trillion in tax cuts. And that is, that's been the social contract, you know, behind the MAGA takeover of the GOP all this time. You know, the billionaires are more than happy to have Trump foment, you know, racial hatreds, you know, panic about the border, about DEI, what have you, go after universities, as we're now seeing, all in exchange for this, for yet more obscene wealth that, in, you know, as is crafted in this bill, is directly taking, you know, critically needed support and, you know, assistance from the middle class and the working class.
I want to ask you about the position of the Democratic Party in this. The party's faced widespread criticism, accused of failing to properly challenge Trump's agenda. There's a new piece by the new in the New Republic that says, quote, House Republicans managed to pass their draconian budget bill, which promises to make massive cuts to Medicaid, Medicare, food assistance early Thursday morning by a narrow one-vote margin that was only possible due to the deaths of three Democrats in this current Congress. It goes on to talk about on Wednesday, Representative Jerry Connolly of Massachusetts passed away after battling esophageal cancer. He's the third Democrat to die in office this year and the sixth in just over a year. In March, longtime Arizona Congressmember Raul Grijalva passed away also after battling cancer. And Congressmember Sylvester Turner of Houston, Texas, died 6 days earlier. Can you talk about all of this?
Yes, this is, you know, an ongoing problem. And obviously, this is all in the shadow of new revelations about how, you know, the Biden White House basically concealed the actual cognitive decline of the president. You know, there is a huge gerontocracy problem in the Democratic Party. And we're, you know, it is not an exaggeration, as the piece you quoted says, that if we did not lose these three House members, this disastrous bill might have been stopped. And it's also, you know, beyond the demographics, there is also just a basic, you know, failure of standing up for principle. You know, there was a earlier budget showdown that could have produced a government shutdown, and Democrats had leverage at that point to get concessions from Republicans in exchange for letting the budget go forward. And Chuck Schumer just folded like a cheap suit in the Senate and gave the Republicans everything that they demanded. That's the sort of longer term background to this disastrous bill that passed yesterday. The Republicans know they can count on Democrats either to, you know, to put things bluntly, to die or to fold. And, you know, this is a real problem.
I just want to note Heather Cox Richardson in her newsletter points out that we're talking about the single biggest increase in funding to immigration enforcement in the history of the United States, increasing ICE's detention budget from $3.4 billion a year to $45 billion through September 2029, a staggering 365% increase on an annual basis that would permit ICE to detain at least 100,000 people at a time. Your final comment, Chris Layman, as we move on to talk about one of the people who's in that detention system, Mahmoud Khalil.
Well, I think it's, again, important to outline in this case that this boondoggle to the repressive and, you know, illegal ICE detention system comes on the back of another Democratic capitulation. The same Democratic Senate voted to endorse the Laken Riley Act, which erected this new system of detention and rendition that's operating illegally and without accountability in our country. Prior to that, the Democrats eagerly touted a Republican immigration reform that included many of these same draconian provisions. So again, it's a failure of effective resistance and moral leadership on the part of the Democrats. And yeah, it's a disastrous amping up of this shadow, fascist state.
And just to put an underscore on it, Heather Cox Richardson writes, it increases ICE budget for transportation and removal operations by 500% from the current $721 million to $14.4 billion. Also calls for more than $46 billion for construction barriers at the border, including completing 701 miles of wall, 900 miles of river barriers, 629 miles of secondary barriers, replacement of 141 miles of vehicle and pedestrian barriers. It calls for $45 billion for adult and family detention, enough to detain at least 100,000 people at a time. Chris Layman, I want to thank you for being with us, D.C. Bureau Chief for The Nation. We'll link to your piece, Trump and Johnson's Big Ugly Lie. When we come back, the jailed Palestinian activists who should have been walking across the graduation stage at Columbia this week, instead jailed in Jena, Louisiana, Mahmoud Khalil testified at his asylum hearing Thursday that if he is deported, it could result in assassination, kidnapping, torture. Hours before the hearing, Mahmoud Khalil got to hold his one-month-old baby Dean for the first time in Dean's little life. We'll get an update from Mahmoud Khalil's lawyer, Ramzi Qasem, back in 20 seconds. Tunisian singer performing on Sunday night at the People's Graduation for Columbia Students, held in a church near the campus in honor of the Palestinian activist Mahmoud Khalil. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We turn now to an update on the case of Mahmoud Khalil, the jailed Palestinian activist and Columbia University graduate abducted by ICE in March, testified in his asylum hearing Thursday in Louisiana that he faces possible assassination, kidnapping, torture if he were to be deported after being, quote, mislabeled a terrorist sympathizer by the U.S. government. This is truly unlawful, what is happening to me, he said. I believe that justice will prevail. Those are the words of Mahmoud Khalil as he fights for his release from an ICE prison thousands of miles away from his wife, Dr. Noor Abdallah, and their newborn baby, Dean. Hours before the hearing, Mahmoud was allowed to hold his one-month-old son and his wife for the first time. The emotional moment came after a federal judge blocked the Trump administration's efforts to keep Mahmoud behind a plexiglass barrier during the visit. Meanwhile, protesters traveled from across the country to Jena, Louisiana, for an action Thursday outside the ICE jail where Mahmoud has been held for over 2 months. This is the Palestinian-American organizer, Rhiannon Hammam.
That's why we're here, to show support for Mahmoud Khalil and show that the movement for a free Palestine, the movement to end genocide, to demand an arms embargo. We will not stop. Repeat after me. We will not stop.
We will not stop.
This facility, this ICE dungeon, has the capacity to hold more than 1,000 people. In everything that Mahmoud has written since his detention, he has drawn attention not just to himself, but the hundreds of other people in these cages with him. And so today, when we are rallying, when we are chanting, I want you to keep in mind that we want everyone in there.